Since its introduction in 1983, IP version 4 has become the protocol of choice for most enterprises. Designed originally as an interim solution pending the adoption of OSI standard protocols, IP has itself become the industry standard. The connectionless service model upon which it is based is simple, robust, and adaptable to a wide range of applications. This, combined with the fact that it is in the public domain, has made it the most popular network layer protocol in use today. But IPv4 is showing its age. Its 32-bit address space, which was sufficient when it was first introduced, has now become inadequate in a world that wants to base everything on IP. Unless the address space is increased, the continual demand for new IP-based services and the dwindling IPv4 address space will result in a Y2K-type crisis in the future. Fortunately, the internet community has recognized the need for a new and enlarged addressing scheme, and it is the new address that forms the basis of IPv6. The IPv6 architects adopted the principle of, if it isn't broken, don't fix it, when they develop the next generation of IP. They increased the address space significantly without changing IP's basic operation. The IPv6 developers didn't make wholesale changes to IPv4. Instead, they fine-tuned it. Much of what you may know about IPv4 remains the same with IPv6. The IPv6 developers used this opportunity to modify IP to reflect the way in which the internet is used. For example, they added security features to reflect the increased commercial use of the internet. They also developed a number of mechanisms to ease the multi-year transition from IPv4 to IPv6. If IPv4 and IPv6 packets are placed side by side, one can see that IPv6 retains the look and feel of the IPv4 packet. This is good news for network managers and support personnel who don't have to learn an entirely new protocol. The most significant difference between IPv4 and IPv6 is the greatly increased address space. IPv4's 32-bit address allows for approximately 4 billion addresses. The IPv6 address space yields over 10 to the power 38 addresses. This is a number so large that each square inch of the Earth's surface could have over 10 to the power 20 addresses. In addition to changing its size, IPv6 makes some other significant changes to the address. For example, broadcast addresses, which are inherently inefficient, are replaced by multicast addresses. The IPv4 private addresses, which are commonly used behind firewalls, are replaced by IPv6 site local and link local addresses. A new type of address called an Anycast has been introduced to facilitate the efficient discovery of network servers. In many cases, a user wishes to connect to any one of a set of eligible servers. Unlike multicast or broadcast messages, which send such a request to all servers, the Anycast directs the request to the nearest eligible server. This conserves network bandwidth. IPv6 no longer uses the concept of address classes. Groups of users are now identified by an address prefix, which is more flexible and results in smaller routing tables. The increased address size represents the most radical change in IPv6. But the IPv6 developers also made a number of minor adjustments to the IPv4 header. IPv6 packets can now support any number of options, whereas the IPv4 header was limited to 40 bytes of options. The 40-byte limit restricted options like record route to only 9 hops, which is inadequate for the size of networks today. In IPv6, options can be any size up to the maximum size of the packet. IPv6 eliminates the IP header checksum. IP packets are always carried in a Layer 2 protocol, most of which have more powerful hardware checksums. This makes the IP header checksum redundant. IPv6 eliminates router fragmentation. Host fragmentation is still supported to decouple application message sizes from network payload limits, but router fragmentation has been removed to improve router throughput performance. Instead, IPv6 uses path discovery to learn the maximum transmission unit from source to destination. IPv6 also introduces a jumbo packet option, which allows IPv6 packets to be larger than the previous 64K limit. This option was added to provide a more efficient way of sending packets over the ultra-high speed, low bit error rate circuits made possible by fiber optic transmission. In addition to enhancing IPv4 features, IPv6 adds some new capabilities. Recognizing the need for greater security in the Internet, IPv6 adds security options to protect against some of the more common security threats, such as address spoofing, wiretapping, replay, and traffic analysis. IPv6 developers are also adding features that will support host mobility in a world that is seeing a dramatic increase in wireless applications. The industry's experience with MPLS has shown the benefit of using connection-oriented features to provide quality of service and traffic engineering. IPv6 adds a flow label to the header so that connection-oriented techniques can be readily applied to IPv6 packet flows. Finally, IPv6 adds auto-address configuration to reduce the burden associated with address management. This gives the network manager the option of using a stateful addressing mechanism such as DHCP or allowing IPv6 addresses to be plug-and-play. It is predicted that the transition from IPv4 to IPv6 will take a number of years. Therefore, an item of great concern to those who are considering migrating to IPv6 is the way in which IPv4 and IPv6 can coexist during the transition process. The IP community has devised a number of strategies to ease the transition process. These techniques can be loosely organized into four categories: tunneling, dual protocol stack hosts and routers, DNS support, and transport and application layer proxies or gateways. Three tunneling strategies are router to router, host to router, and host to host. Router-to-router tunneling allows IPv6 subnets to be connected over IPv4 backbones. Routers run a dual-stack implementation, and hosts can be IPv6 only. Major router vendors already support several such tunneling options. Host-to-router tunnels can be used to connect dual-stack hosts running on an IPv4 subnet to a router that attaches to an IPv6 subnet. Two such mechanisms are 6/4 and 6/24 tunneling. They are described in RFCs 2529 and 3056, respectively. Host-to-host tunnels can be used to connect dual-stack IPv6 hosts to each other over an IPv4 subnet. 6/4 tunneling is one such method. An example of a 6/4 tunnel packet is shown on this chart. With this method, the last 4 bytes of the IPv6 addresses are the hexadecimal representations of the IPv4 addresses of the dual stack hosts. Microsoft Windows XP and Server 2003 support a technique which Microsoft calls port proxy. This method allows a dual stack host to act as a transport layer relay between an IPv4-only host and an IPv6-only host. This chart shows the 4-step process of setting up a TCP connection between an IPv4-only host and an IPv6-only host via the port proxy. In step 1, the IPv4 host performs a DNS lookup on the server URL. In step 2, the DNS server returns the IPv4 address of the port proxy host. In step 3, the IPv4 host sets up a TCP connection to the port proxy host on port 80. And in step 4, the port proxy host sets up a TCP connection to the server using its IPv6 address and port 80. A number of previous examples assume that some of the hosts and/or routers supported both IPv4 and IPv6. This is done via a dual protocol stack implementation, which is shown conceptually on this chart. Microsoft's port proxy establishes a TCP layer relay. A similar concept is to relay the messages at the application layer. This chart shows such a process. In step one, the IPv4 only host performs a DNS lookup using the server URL. The DNS server returns a temporary IPv4 address and creates an IPv4 to IPv6 mapping. When the IPv4 host sends an IPv4 packet to the gateway copies the payload into an IPv6 packet and forwards it to the server. Because most servers are known by their URL and not their IP addresses, the IPv4 to IPv6 transition process will require DNS support. A new type of IPv6 address record has been defined, and requests for servers that support IPv6 addresses results in the return of either an IPv6 address or both the IPv4 and IPv6 addresses. The move to IPv6 is not a question of if, but rather of when. All major equipment and software vendors offer some form of IPv6 support, so users can begin to do testing with the new protocol now. Planning ahead will avoid a Y2K-style panic as the IPv4 address space exhausts and enterprises begin converting to IPv6 en masse. A prudent strategy would be to begin a pilot project now to gain experience with the new address structure and operational features of IPv6. Thank you for listening. If you would like information on customized on-site IPv6 training, please visit the InfoTel website at www.infotel-systems.com.